Thank you, Stephen. It's a joy to be here. I thank Pastor Stan for the honor of preaching in this pulpit this morning and in being in your presence. And I feel kind of a little bit at home right now because I see some people that I'm very familiar with. I know Robin went with us to a mission trip there, and Stephen and Tony are good friends with us. And I see the Nakasone family, in which I went to school with Wayne, Phyllis's husband, and I know some of his sisters and brother too as well, because of Naka's Okazuya, and it's one of our favorite places there, and we went to school together, and we had a lot of fun. And, you know, I just feel at home, okay? Praise his name. Well, we'll look at the clock, and I see what time it is, and I'm kind of concerned about the time frame, but the message this morning is entitled Urgent. Urgent, change your future now. Change your future now. I'm going to read from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, and Psalm 71, verse 18. And Lord, we ask this morning that you, the whole Holy Spirit, would speak to each and every one of us, O God. And Lord, we recognize and acknowledge even this morning that your word without application leads to frustration. But your word with application leads to transformation. And we ask that you would do your work in our lives, O Father, that we may make a significant difference in the life in which we live now. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, and we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Then in Psalm 71, verse 18, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Focusing on the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, a perpetuation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a three-point outline guy. So point number one is our condition. Our condition. God's plan for each and every one of us is that we might have an intimate relationship with him. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you know about your origin. How did I get here? You know about the meaning in life. What do I do here on earth? Number three, we have morality, which is absolute morality. Where do we have morality from? From the Lord. And that we know our destiny, what happens to us when we die. And this gospel needs to be perpetuated from one generation to the next generation. Let me share with you something that I've learned. The condition in which we are in today, in America and in Hawaii. In New York City, on April 30th, 1789, George Washington, you see the Capitol was not there in Washington, D.C., but it was in New York City way back then in 1789. George Washington took his oath, the presidential oath there, put his hand on the Bible, took the presidential oath there, and took the oath. And after he took the oath, he took his leadership team across to St. Paul's Chapel. If you've ever been to New York City, where the Twin Towers is right now, across there, there's a chapel, a little chapel called St. Paul's Chapel, and I've been there. And we see a pew designated for George Washington. George Washington, the first president of the United States. Incidentally, my name is George because I was born on George Washington's birthday, which is on February 22nd, a couple weeks from now. Okay? Remember that. Okay. You see, he started our nation by praying for our nation with his leadership team there. That's how our nation got founded upon. Some great spiritual leaders. And what happened there is America was a blessed nation because of that, I believe, for many years. We gave people refuge. We gave them hope. We gave them liberation. And America was a blessed, prosperous, powerful, and revered nation all over the world for a number of years. Not so today. Around 1850, 90% of Hawaii were Christians, but not today. And where we are as a nation, where we are as a state today, something that we've got to look at. A woman by the name of Alice Bailey, she lived from 1880 to 1949. She was a theosophist, and she was, I believe, a great woman to found the New Age movement. She wrote a 10-point plan way back there, a New World Order. And I want to just share with you these 10 points and see what has done and affected the world today. Let me give you these 10 points. Number one, take God and prayer out of the education system. Number two, reduce parental authority over the children. Number three, destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional Christian family structure. Number four, if sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. Number five, make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. Number six, make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Number seven, debase art, make it run mad. Number eight, use media to promote and change mindset. Number nine, create an interfaith movement. Number 10, get government to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes. This was way back in 1949. She had a vision. She had a dream. She knew what she wanted. And it has been fulfilled today. God had a vision. God had a dream. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe you all what I have commanded you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That was God's plan. Prior to the 2000 Sydney Olympics, the USA's 4x100 women's relay team always won the gold medal. In the 2000 Sydney Games, the second runner struggled to pass the baton from her to the next runner. It was handed over sloppily. And because of that, we didn't win the gold. We won the bronze instead. In 2004, in Athens, the exchange from the second runner to the third runner came too late. The second runner held on too long to transfer the baton to the third runner. And what happened was that they passed the exchange zone. There's an explicit exchange zone that you need to transition the baton from one to the other. She held on too late. And so therefore, they were disqualified. In the 2008 semifinals in Beijing, from one to the next, the baton was dropped. And they were disqualified. Handing over the baton sloppily. Handing over the baton too late. Handing over the baton No, dropping it and being disqualified. We were not able to win the gold. Finally, in 2012 in London, everything was synchronized. Everything went well. And we won the gold. You and I today are running an eternal relay. The relay of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to receive the baton with gratitude. Thank God that somebody spoke to you. Somebody prayed for you. And that one day you received the baton, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God came into your heart and your life. You opened up your heart to Him. You received the baton with gratitude. Not only we need to receive the baton with gratitude, but we need to be running. Running with the baton with passion. Running with passion. When I come to different churches and all of that, I'm observant of what it is to be wired in worship. And when the song leader or the worship leader needs to pump up the church, come on, let's worship. Come on, let's worship. I know that throughout the course of the week, people have not been worshiping. If we are wired in worship every day, when we gather together on Sunday morning, it's explosive. It's exciting. Why? Because we are wired in worship. We have been carrying the baton with passion. With passion, with excitement. We don't have to read the Bible. We don't have to come to church. We don't have to pray. We don't have to do all of these things. Why? We want to pray. We want to read the word. We want to worship. We want to spend time with the Lord. We get excited about God. There is a passion in running with the baton. Not only that, we need to release the baton with hope. Release the baton to the next generation that they would carry the baton. Get excited about them. Don't hold on to the baton too long. Release the baton. Give the young ones an opportunity. Give the young ones an opportunity to preach and to teach. Give the young ones an opportunity to carry the baton. Don't hold on. We see sometimes the older ones, they hold on for too long. And we forfeit one generation from the opportunity to serve the Lord with passion. We need to release the baton with hope that they're going to do a better job. Get excited for them. That's the condition that we are in today, church, is because we have not received the baton with gratitude, run with the baton with passion, and release the baton with hope. The condition we are in today, yes, and that's why we are in today, and it's going to get worse. We need to do something about it. Whenever you are sick, you go to the doctor, he gives you a diagnosis. Then he gives you a prescription. Take this medication, do this exercise, do this therapy. And so I find that we need our solution. There's a condition, but we need to have a solution. A solution. If you read 1 John chapter 2 there, he talks about three different types of people there. He talks about fathers. He talks about young men. And he talks about children. And anytime I go to a church or any place, I look for these three areas. Are there fathers? Are there young men? Are there children? Some churches have a lot of fathers, but hardly any children. Some people have a lot of children, but hardly any young men. And we need those three in bridging the gaps from one generation to the next generation. What do we need to do to have a balance in having these three generations? And what happens is that when we have these three generations and we work with one another, we have a healthy church. The solution is this, church. I find it in Kings. Remember the story of Elijah and Elisha. I'm not going to read the whole text there. But Elijah was a great prophet. Then Elisha followed. But Elisha wanted, and one thing he wanted was, I want to have a double portion, of the Spirit. And remember in the book of 1 Kings there, chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, we find that Elijah and Elisha were in Gilgal. Gilgal is a place of beginnings, place where you start off. And he had a good beginning there. And we find here now Elijah is mentoring Elisha. And the key is, church, for each and every one of us to mentor, to coach, or to teach someone else. Okay? And Elisha was open to that. Yes, I want that mentor. I want that coach. I want that teacher. Find one. And Elisha found Elijah. And he said, I'm going to follow him. He's a model for me. And I want that because why? I want to have a powerful life, an anointed life. In fact, a doubly anointed life that I live. So they started off in Gilgal. And then Elijah said, I'm leaving now. I'm going to go to Bethel. And Elisha says, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go with you because God has a destiny for me. I'm going to learn all I can from you. And he went with Elijah to Bethel. Bethel is the house of prayer. Bethel is a place of surrender. And you see now, Elisha was observing and watching and learning all he could from Elijah. The place of beginnings, the place that he had to give up things, the place that he had to deal with different areas in his life. Then he went on to Bethel now, the house of prayer, finding out his experience with God, his close walk with the Lord, the house of prayer, finding that he is the Lord's house. You know, God wants him, all of it. Not only a part of the house, but the whole house. And some of us, we give God the bedroom, but not the dining room. Or we give God the bathroom, but not the kitchen, you know. We need to give a whole of our lives. And Elisha learned this from Elijah. Then Elijah said, I'm going to go on now. I'm going to go on to Jericho. You stay here. Elisha said, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go on with you. I'm going to learn about it. Jericho is a place of battle. It's where we have hard battles. And when you learn from somebody and you sit by their side and you learn all that you can, how do you fight battles? How do you deal with this? How do you deal with that? And that's how Elisha learned, by going along with that. Then Elijah said, I'm going to go on now. You stay here, Elisha. I'm going to go on now to, what's the last one? Jordan, right? Jordan, the place of death. The place of death. Going through all of that. And you see, what happens was Elisha followed Elijah all the way through, was sticking it out all the way through, until the day when Elijah went up to heaven. And Elisha saw it all. Because he saw it all there, he learned about it. He received a double portion from the Lord. And I believe that that's where it boils down to, that we need to look at our lives and see other people and learn from other people. The solution is that we need to be mentored by, when I was district superintendent, my goal was this, I said, be mentored by five and mentor five. Have people in your lives that you can look up to, that can coach you, that can teach you, that can mentor you, but also find people that you can coach, that you can mentor to as well. That's the solution in perpetuating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we don't do that, what happens is that we're one generation away from extinction. The church will die. No, the church will not die, but the strength of the church is not going to be there. Why are we in a condition America is in today? Why is Hawaii in the condition that we are in today? Why? Because we didn't pass the baton on. Strong. You know, we look at the millennials, and we're losing a lot of our millennials in our churches today. After young people graduate from high school, they're gone. We don't see them anymore. We get concerned about that. And I believe this. When you ask the young people, you know, they know the songs. They know the teachings. They know the words. They know the lingo. They know how to act and all of that. But what I found out is this. They grew up in church, but they didn't grow up in the Lord. When they experience God themselves, when they have the intimacy with God themselves, then they will never, never leave. But if they just grew up in church and not grew up in Christ, not grown up in the Lord, they will leave. The Bible talks about Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it tells us all, the solution is this. Tell it to your children. And we read the scripture verse here. Share it with one generation to the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. When you rise up, when you walk on the road, when you lie down with them, when you spring them out, let them go. All of this, the home life, needs to just exude with your love for God. Parents, when they get up in the morning, you can be the prophet speaking words of encouragement and enlightenment to them. When you're on the road, just be their friend. Talk story with them and find out what's going on in their lives instead of condemning them and judging them. No, let them talk. Find out things from them. At night when they go to bed, let them share some of the struggles that they go through. Be a teacher to them, a counselor to them. Wherever they go, you can be a teacher, a counselor, a prophet, a friend to them. Solution. Your intimacy with God, yes, but the solution is passing it on from one generation to the next generation. We need that. We need that. May we not be fans. Somebody wrote a book, Not a Fan. You know, when you're just a fan, when things go good, yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and you're all excited. But when things don't go wrong, especially when fans are, you know, when the team loses, they don't go to the games anymore. Things don't go good. But we're not fans. We're his sons and his daughters. Praise his name. Our condition, our solution, let's look at our celebration. I got a bad habit of getting so much notes here. I was talking to some of our leaders, and one of the things that we are concerned about is biblical illiteracy. You know, there was a time when kids were growing up, you know, like when we grew up with Dick and Jane, Spot and Puff. Run, Puff, run, 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 run. Everybody knew about Dick and Jane and Spot and Puff. Not today, different. Just like when we were growing up, you know, you knew about Noah and the Ark. You knew about David and Goliath. You knew about, you know, Samson and Delilah. You know about these people. Some of our young people don't know about them anymore. Let me share with you a story. A freshman entering Bible college was asked what part of the Bible he liked best. Well, I like the New Testament best, he answered. What book do you like in the New Testament? The interviewer wanted to know. Oh, by far, I like the book of parables best, the freshman replied. Would you kindly relate one of those parables to me, the interviewer asked. The freshman complied, saying, once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And the thorns grew up and choked that man. And he went on and met the queen of Sheba. And she gave that man 1,000 talents of gold and silver and 100 changes of raiment. And he got in his chariot and drove furiously And as he was driving under a big tree, his hair got caught in a limb and left him hanging there. And he hung there many days and many nights, and the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair. And he dropped and fell on stony ground. And it began to rain, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And he hid himself in a cave. And he went out and met a man and said, "Come and take supper with me in my cave." But the man answered, "I cannot, for I have married a wife." And the cave dweller went out into the highways and byways and compelled people to come in. And he went on and came to Jericho, and he saw Queen Jezebel sitting high up in a window. And when she saw him, she laughed. And he said, "Throw her down." He said, "Throw her down again." And he threw her down 70 times 7. And of the fragments, they picked up 12 baskets. And now what I want to know is, whose wife will she be on the day of resurrection? Kind of funny and all of that. But biblical illiteracy. And we need to be teaching our people the Bible. Be solid in there. We want to celebrate. I believe we need to leave, you know, behind a generation. There's a new season and a new chapter in your marriage, a new season and chapter in your career, a new season and chapter in your health, a new season and chapter in your finances, a new season and chapter in your relationships, a new season and chapter in your intimacy with God, a new season and chapter for your church. Let me share with you some statistics here. The Jewish family, even till today, they honor the Sabbath. What I'm saying is that once a week, at least once a week, they gather together to have at least one meal together. And it's a requirement, you know. And during that time, they worship, they read the scriptures, they share dreams, they share challenges, they pray for one another. They do it every week. Every week. Today, many Americans don't do it anymore. Watching television while eating a meal, doing this and that, and the schedule is all hammerjang that they can't get together. And that's why we are in a condition today. But the Jewish people, they do that. Let me give you some statistics. I said they share their word, they eat together, they worship, they offer blessings, there's intimate discussions. The result is that they are blessed. The percentage of Jewish households with incomes greater than 50,000 is double that of non-Jews. 45% of the top 40 of the Forbes 400 richest Americans are Jewish. One-third of American multimillionaires are Jewish. 20% of professors at leading universities are Jewish. 40% of partners in the leading law firms in New York and Washington are Jewish. 25% of all American Nobel Prize winners are Jewish. Less than 0.1% of American inmates are Jewish. What about our Americans? What about us Hawaiians? May we be challenged to gather together in families so that we might be able to celebrate like the Jewish people. May we have a church. You know, I don't believe God wants a past-driven church or a policy-driven church or a personality-driven church or pastor-driven church or program-driven church or a people-driven church or even a purpose-driven church. But I believe that God wants us to be a presence-driven church. That whenever someone comes in to this church here, there is just the presence of God just emanating here. Right here. They can know and sense. They can experience the power of God. They can experience the presence of God. They can experience the peace of God. Why? Because it is passed on from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, if my people will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then we will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and he will heal our land. Isaiah 54:2, I love this. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. All in the imperative, the strong verbal verbs there. Increase our capacity. Why? God has so much more for each and every one of us. So we can celebrate his blessings. We can celebrate. That's what God wants. He wants our children to experience that. And we need to increase our capacity. I share this. When I was a kid, I loved to play marbles. Many of you remember marbles there? You know? But the marbles that I enjoy was the bambuchas, the bambulas, the big ones there. Right? Because they can do damage to the rest. And that's what it is. Some of us, we think that we have a small God. Lord, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Fill my tank, Lord. Increase our capacity to have more of God. That's what we want, church. The celebration of what God has in store for each and every one of us. So enlarge our tent. Stretch the tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. We need to make a purposeful and intentional effort there. Jabez cried out to the Lord. Lord, bless me indeed. Nothing wrong with asking God to bless us. Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. May your hand be upon me. Protect me from evil. We serve a big God. That's why he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all they could even imagine or think. God has so much for each and every one of us. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Let's get excited about God. Let's celebrate. Celebrate. The condition we are in today can be resolved. He gave us a solution, church. Receive the baton with gratitude. Run with the baton with passion. And release the baton with hope. And then we'll be able to celebrate. Can you imagine? Where will Hawaii be 50, 100 years from now should the Lord tarry? Where will America be 50 years, 100 years, should the Lord tarry? And I believe that God's fulfillment, the prophetic word, can be fulfilled if we perpetuate from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, not seeing what Alice Bailey saw in where we are at today. But oh, can we see a state? Can we see a nation just worshiping God, just exalting him, just praising him, just extolling him, and living in the power of his presence and his peace? We do that, church. That's a challenge that we have. So what is God saying to us? What do we need to do today? What are we willing to do today? I ask you. Find somebody. Find a coach. Find a mentor. Find somebody. They don't have to be older than you, but somebody that you can learn from. We can learn a lot from our kids. You know how to work those stupid gadgets that we have? But I tell you what, the younger ones will never make it without the older ones. Like Samuel, he heard the voice, but he didn't know who it was. Every Samuel needs an Eli. But the thing is this, church, what happened is this. You see, Eli didn't pass the baton on to the next generation. You see how his kids ended up. Moses passed it on to Josh. Joshua was a great leader, led the nation into the promised land. But there arose a generation that knew not God. Hezekiah, God performed a miracle in giving him much more years to live, right? But if you read the Bible there, Hezekiah was happy with what happened during his lifetime and not concerned about the next generation. I believe that we need to be concerned. And that's why Psalm 71 and Psalm 78 tells us, tell it to the next generation. Teach it to the next generation. I want our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not to be intimidated by what we see in the world today. It can change. How many of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Yes. Everybody, if you don't know Him, I encourage you today, yes, to know how you came here, why you are here, the morality, the absolute morality that, you know, what determines right and wrong, and where you are going to spend eternity after you die from this planet Earth. Get to know Him as your Savior and Lord and pass this on to your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Let me close in prayer for you. Our gracious Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord God, for the message that we receive from You today, O Lord God. It's urgent. It's urgent. We can change our future now. Not later on. Not waiting, but even now, O God. Starting right now. Finding people, O God, that would coach and mentor us. And finding people that we can coach and mentor to as well. And feeding on, O Lord God, in receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ and passing it on to our children and to our grandchildren, O God. I pray, O Lord God, we would turn things around while we have breath and while we have life, Lord. Forgive us, O God, if we have not received the baton with gratitude, if we have not run with the baton with passion, and we have not released the baton with hope. Cleanse us. Forgive us, O Lord God, for You have a plan and a purpose for Hawaii, for our nation, and for the whole world, O God. It is Your heart's desire for each and every one of us to have an intimate relationship with You, O God. That's Your desire. And You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross of Calvary, to pay the price, O Lord, that we might spend eternity with You. You pursue us. You long for us. You love us, O Lord God. And Your heart's desire is spend eternity forever and ever with each and every one of us. We are excited about that, O Lord God. But while here on planet Earth, O Father, we have a responsibility. We have a covenant. We have a commitment, O Lord God, of sharing the gospel from one generation to the next generation. We pray for West Oahu Christian Church right now, Lord. We pray for Pastor Stan. We pray for the leadership, Lord God. We pray for the congregation, O Lord Jesus, representing families and marriages and friends and neighbors, O God. O Lord God, may we rise up. May we rise up. And may we take action, O Lord God. May we have the anointing of God upon our lives. A fresh anointing, O Lord Jesus, to carry us through. We thank You now, Lord God, so that people in this community will say, hey, there's something about West Oahu Christian Church. People are being saved. People are being healed. People are being delivered. People are being excited for You, oh God. And whenever they step into this facility, O Lord God. They will know and sense your presence, your power, and your peace. We thank you for it now, O God. We are excited about what you're going to be doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God.